as you know, before I get into the sermon, I like to start with some really bad dad jokes. You know, that's what's so cool about dad jokes. The worse they are, the better they are. Y'all want to hear a couple? All right. I had a really rough week last week.
How rough was it?
How rough was it? On Thursday, I got fired from my part-time job as a masseuse. Apparently, I rub people the wrong way. On Friday, I was walking down the street just minding my own business when I was hit over the head by a violin, then a clarinet, and then a French horn. I'm pretty sure this was an orchestrated attack. And then yesterday, I lost my life's research on how to cure excessive itching. And now it looks like I'm going to have to start again from scratch. But today is Sunday, and we're in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see everybody. The longer I live, at least in my opinion, it feels like life now is experienced more in seasons rather than just a count of days and months and years, right? When you're younger, you can kind of mark the days, your birthday, you know exactly how many days you are, old you are. You kind of think in terms of specific dates. I tend to remember now, though, my life, not so much by birthdays, but in chunks of time. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say here today? Seasons of life, they really are more defined by life events than by the calendar. Like, I can remember certain things in my life, but I don't remember if I was 30 or 35 or 38 when it happens. I just remember this space in my life. And what I've learned about the seasons of life is they're just like the seasons that we experience on the planet. Some days are sunny, and some are cloudy days. Sometimes you have stormy seasons in life. Sometimes there's times of rest. Sometimes there's cold and dark times, and then sometimes there's bright and warm times. Get out there this week and enjoy the bright, warm weather. It's going to be nice. Mountaintop experiences are great, and we all love them, don't we? But you know what? Nobody lives on the mountaintop forever. God never even designed for life to be that way. We will all eventually find ourselves in a valley. Or maybe a season that's marked by despondency or desperation. Sometimes in life we rebound quickly and we just move right into the next season with optimism from lessons learned. That's kind of what we all hope we do, right? We learn the lessons of the season. But then there's times when we're just left with these lingering feelings of despair or doubt. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives, they just seem like they're trying to wrap around us like a coat of discouragement, like a straitjacket of doubt. And sometimes the season that you're currently in, it just tries to link arms with past seasons of pain or doubt. How many of you know that that's the way the devil likes to work? He just likes to link one bad experience to another and kind of compound the pain in your life. He likes to pile on, doesn't he? And cause life to feel impossible to overcome. Because of this, hard seasons often leave us feeling like we're plunged deep into hopelessness. Now, if any of you have known me for any amount of time, you know that I consider myself to be a pragmatic optimist. In other words, I'm somebody, I don't ignore the risk or the bad circumstances. I don't go through life with a Pollyanna viewpoint. I see difficult challenges, but I also believe that even bad things can turn out good. Amen. I always believe there's a way of escape. I always believe that if you look close enough, you'll see a silver lining in that cloud. That's just who I am. I try to live my life as a glass half full, not half empty kind of guy. I try to look for a ray of sunshine even on the darkest of days. I know that life has challenges, but I try to look for a way to learn and move forward in those seasons. But I don't always do it that well. I know that sometimes I know what it's like to be discouraged and to not feel optimism in the moment. Some days I look at that half full glass and I take a sip of it and it tastes like vinegar. Sometimes you look at the half full glass and it looks like muddy water, doesn't it? I've been in seasons where a good day was just being able to make it through the day without quitting your job. Anybody know what that's like? Honey, I had a good day. Why? Well, I didn't throat punch anybody. Amen. How many of you will admit, sometimes you love Jesus, but you just want to throat punch somebody? I mean, if that makes me a bad pastor, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the truth. I love Jesus, but sometimes I just want to, never mind. Amen. I think you bear witness. See, a good day sometimes is a day that you don't forget the big picture in life. A good day might be a day that you make it through without forsaking your responsibilities as a husband or a wife or as a dad or as a mom, right? How many of you will testify that some days just making it through the day and being able to put your head back on your pillow at night was a win, right? I made it. See, most of us have experienced those seasons at some point in life. And you might even be in one right now. Today, I want us to look to the word of the Lord for strength. Amen? I preached to you last week about the great counselor. You're going to get some counsel today from God's word. Amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Oh, man, I didn't even start my timer. That means I can go a long time today. No, not really. Romans 15, 13. I pray that God, who gives hope, will bless you with complete happiness and peace because of your faith, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. That's a good prayer right there, amen? Let me read it again. I pray that God, who gives hope, will bless you with complete happiness and peace because of your faith, and may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. You know what I want you to do right now? Thank you, Joe. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to look at him, and you pray this prayer right along with me. Are you ready? I pray that God, who gives hope, will bless you with complete happiness and peace because of your faith. And now just elevate your tone a little bit. And may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. Come on, somebody ought to clap their hands to the Lord right now. I want to tell this section right over here, may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. I want to tell you guys right here, may the power of the Holy Ghost fill you with hope. I want to tell everybody over here, may the God of heaven fill you with joy and peace. I want to preach to you today about being filled with hope. Filled with hope. You see, we serve the God of hope. And the Bible tells us that He can not only fill you with hope, but with happiness and peace as you trust in Him, no matter what season of life it is that you're in. I love how this verse is phrased in the New International Version. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on, filled with so much joy and peace that you are overflowing with hope. Not just a drip of hope, not just a drop of hope, not just a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. Come on, I want to be overflowing with hope. And Paul said you can have it through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus, the great counselor, is the giver of hope. He is the answer to hopelessness. In the Greek, that word, the meaning of the word hope is expectation of what is sure. Ha! Expectation of what is sure. It doesn't mean wishing for something that is a maybe. It means expecting something that is sure. Folks, this is not just blind hope. This is not the kind of hope that says, I hope I will win the lottery, or I hope I can get a new job, or I hope that I will get a $2,000 tariff stimulus check. You ain't going to get one of those. Stop thinking about it. You ain't getting one. You don't deserve one, and neither do I. Amen. I hope. I hope my team makes the playoffs. Playoffs? I hope. I hope. See, it means God is the God of what we can be sure of. Hallelujah. He is not peddling false hope. Amy McIntyre, where are you at? Run up here real quick. Come here. Come here, girl. I'm going to embarrass you. It's all right. If anybody can handle it. You know why we love Amy? Look at her. She's a hope dealer. She's a hope dealer. I told her I needed your shirt today to preach my sermon. Amen. Come on, she's a hope dealer. See, God does not peddle false hope. He's not the giver of shallow words of encouragement. Today, I'm talking about being filled with real, tangible hope that you can believe in. Life, unpredictable. People, unreliable. Wealth, here today, gone tomorrow. Fame, fleeting at best. But God, He can be trusted. All the time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Yes. He offers words of hope even when we're in despair. The God of hope can fill you, amen, with hope. Paul prayed that the God of hope would fill us with joy and peace, a joy and a peace that flows in and through our lives, seeping into every area of our being. See, Paul not only says that God is able to fill us with joy and peace, but notice how he says we get it. You need to unpack this verse. As we trust in him. That's important. Don't miss that. God's hope and our faith are inextricably linked together. Come on. As we trust in him, Paul said. See, faith is the currency that moves the economy of God. Come on, faith is the engine that drives the forward progress of your life. Amen. Again, Paul said the God of hope can fill you with joy and peace as you learn to trust in him. See, I know it doesn't always make sense to us, but need does not necessarily move God. Faith does. If need moved God, there'd only be a need for a certain period of time, then God would meet that need. Amen? But see, God has reserved this tangible evidence of his love, this overflowing hope, and this level of living for those who the scripture says are trusting and believing in him. Amen. Those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus, and they are exercising that trust and that faith as a daily discipline in our walk with him. See, we can cling to Paul's declaration that we can be filled with hope. We really do need to believe what Romans 8:28 tells us. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. It says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. What an encouragement that is. Think about it. It would be tragic to have the promise of overflowing joy and peace from the God of hope himself and not take hold of it because we refuse to trust God during a hard season of life. By placing our trust in him, we have the privilege of engaging in what, really think about it, it is a lopsided exchange. We win. We give him our discouragement, and he offers us overflowing joy, peace, and hope. We give him our fear, he gives us confidence. We give him our doubts, and he gives us encouragement. We give him our brokenness, and he gives us healing. See, folks, I want to encourage somebody today. You do not have to live stuck in a place of discouragement. We're all going to be there, but we don't all have to stay there, amen? Yes, you might end up there from time to time, but we do not have to perpetually be stuck in a place of despair. You do not have to live in that place of hopelessness. We can know hope. We can experience hope, amen? We can have real hope, the Bible says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to try and make ourselves hopeful. We don't have to conjure up joy when it does not exist. You don't have to try to think yourself happy. Because the Bible says that the power of the Holy Spirit, God can impart hope to us. Folks, there are levels, hear me, there are levels of hope and joy and faith that require the power of the Holy Ghost operating in your life to experience it. Amen? The Holy Spirit makes being filled with hope and joy possible. After Jesus' resurrection and right before he ascended into heaven, listen to what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Here it is. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And then he tells them what it is. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling his boys, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you have experienced the gift that my Father promised. What is that gift? It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Life Church, the Holy Spirit is that gift that enables us to overflow with hope. What difficult circumstances is it that you're facing right now? Do you really believe the truth of Romans 15, 13 today that says that God can fill you with joy and peace and with overflowing hope? He can. He can. See, God has the gift of hope for you in the midst of your season of despondency. If you would just trust in him, and if you will ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with hope as you trust in him. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 6. Here's what Paul said. And my boy Paul didn't mince any words. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everybody say anxiety. Anxiety. It's no fun. It's not even a word you like to say, is it? Anxiety. But Paul addressed it. Paul didn't coddle the issue. By the way, folks, Pastor Paul didn't pull any punches. Amen? Pastor Paul said we have to quit being so anxious about everything. He said, don't be anxious about anything. You know, if I would have wrote that, I probably would have said, try your best. Do the best you can. Gather your team around you and try to make it. No, no, no. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. He said, don't be anxious about anything. Paul, is that even possible? Why is it so hard to do that? Why does anxiety feel like the opposite of hope? Folks, when you compare anxiety and hope to each other, they're both emotions about our present circumstances or maybe what's coming in the future, how those things are going to play out. But hear me, anxiety and hope have opposite expectations of how the future is going to play out in your life. Think about it. Anxiety anticipates threats, loss, bad outcomes, worst case scenario, That's the path that anxiety leads you down. But hope anticipates wins, positive outcomes, best case scenarios, amen? Anxiety is that feeling of dread or apprehension or uneasiness that we get when we feel stressed about uncertain things in our future. And we've all been there, right? It causes us to become restless, tense, even physically ill at times. You know what that feels like, tension in your neck, your upper back, migraines, pains in your chest, knots in your stomach, wide awake at 3 a.m., mind flooded with this endless series of what if, what if, what if. But the word of the Lord, one of the tools of the great counselor, in the well-known anecdotal verse for anxiety, Paul said, don't be anxious about anything. Man, that sounds good in practice, Paul, but what about my extremely unfair circumstances? What about my difficulties that I'm going through? After all, you know, Paul didn't say, try not to be anxious. Just do your best. No, no, no. He gave a straightforward command, and he didn't have any loopholes, did it? Paul was tough. He was not entertaining our sob story. He was not entertaining our excuses. He was not entertaining our reasons. He didn't give us an exception or a way out. He said, don't be anxious. But then, don't you love the fact that he doesn't just drop that on you without an explanation of how to do it? Now, I could preach a whole sermon just on this one verse and this one thing, but let me just unpack it for you real quick, right? Paul tells us how to not live an anxiety-filled life. And if you don't catch anything else I say, I want you to listen in the next 10 minutes because this is gold. Look at the verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but, and now he's going to tell you how to do it. In every situation, he said, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And when you do that, verse 7 tells us what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, take every situation to the Lord by prayer and by petition. Pastor, what does that mean? Prayer, we know, is communicating with God in general. Prayer is just speaking to God. But petition means be specific. That's what it means. Be specific. Ask God about exactly what you need. Tell God what it is that you are feeling anxious about. Tell God, he already knows. Tell God what is the source of anxiety in your life. Paul said, don't just pray. Paul said, pray and petition. Be specific. Have your request. Bring it to God. Tell him exactly what you feel about. And then he says, bring that with thanksgiving. Bring it in a spirit of gratitude, in a spirit of humility. And he says, present those requests to God. Have you ever noticed how people say, and maybe you've said it, I know I've said it, you're just going through something and then you have lunch with your best friend and when it's over you go, man, I just feel so much better that I talked to somebody about this. Or maybe you go and you talk to a counselor, or you talk to a therapist, or you talk to your small group leader, and then when it's all over with you go, man, I feel so much better since I talked to somebody about this. You know what Paul is saying? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present these things to God. Paul says if you will stop and take that anxiety and have a conversation with Jesus about it, you're going to feel better when it's said and when it's done. That's what exactly Paul is telling us to do with our anxiety. He's telling us to speak about it directly with the Lord. And folks, when you're doing that, you're putting your trust in him and you're activating the potential to see joy and peace and overflowing hope in your life. Anxiety leaves you pulled apart. It leaves you in all kinds of directions. It leaves you divided, distracted. Life circumstances have a way of doing this to us all the time. Anxiety just seems like the natural response. But here in Philippians, hear me, Paul is saying that we as believers, we can make a conscious decision not to live our lives this way. And I'm challenging you today, amen. I'm throwing you a lifeline today. You don't have to live that way. Paul is saying we can choose to be different. We can choose to respond differently when anxious thoughts are pressing in on us. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said instead, take those things to the Lord so you can be filled with hope. I'm going to ask the praise team and musicians to come. And we're going to do something here in just a moment that I think can really help you. Instead of being anxious, in every situation, Paul said, pray, petition, and present. Pray about it, petition God with it, and present it with thanksgiving. Let your needs be known to God. Folks, when we feel anxiety in our body, you know what we got to do? We got to rephrase our anxious thoughts and turn them into prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. I want to help you right now. If your anxious thought is, I'm worried I'm going to lose my job and therefore lose my income, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Rephrase that. Choose to cast that anxious thought on God by praying a specific prayer. I'm going to tell you something right now that will change your life. It'll change your prayer life if you can apply this. And I don't care what it is. It might be your job. It might be your health. It might be your marriage. It might be whatever. Say, God, first of all, and I do think it's okay to do this, God, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. Man, be honest with God about your fears. Be honest with God about your doubts. Be honest with God about what you're going through, right? God, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my job, but don't stop there. See, because that's where we just stop. Oh, God, I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. No. But don't stop there. Also say this, God, thank you, because my job is not my provider. You are my provider. Oh, come on. You see how we're turning this thing around? Thank you, God, because even though I'm afraid right now, I remember when you did it for me before. Thank you, God. I trust you as my provider, and I know that you are more than capable of meeting my every need. Come on, I'm not just praying, but I'm petitioning the Lord. Lord, I know you can do it, but I'm being thankful. God, I believe that you're going to help me find a new source of income for my family. And I got in the meantime, while I'm waiting for all this to work out, thank you for providing for our needs. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for the shoes on my feet. Come on, does anybody hear what I'm talking about? Don't just let that anxiety and those anxious thoughts and those places of despondency pull you down. Replace them with prayers and petitions and faith that says, God, I know you can make a way. Rephrasing how you speak and how you pray are in line with what Paul is telling us when he says to act in faith and trust. Come on, somebody. Speak faith. Speak life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Don't let the devil just straitjacket you with doubt and fear. Tear those things off and say, I'm a child of God. I want you to stand with me right now. Hear me. When you choose to pray like this, it forces us to intentionally place our trust in God, which then opens us up to being filled with overflowing hope that the Holy Spirit can give us. Remember, the need and your faith are inextricably tied together. And I know it's not easy, but as believers, we have this option. We have this opportunity. This is how we get to deal with our anxiety and our doubts. And it allows us to be filled with hope instead. Amen? We can live our lives knowing that even if God does not answer our prayers in the way that we think that he should, he still loves us, and he's intimately concerned with the details of my life, and he is going to take care of me. Amen. So today, here's what I want to ask you. What are the anxious thoughts that are robbing you right now of joy and peace and hope? Okay, you might have a big old long list. You might say, here, Pastor, here's my 36 things that are robbing me. All right, I don't want to overwhelm you today. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to take the one that's at the top of your list. Everybody's got something. I want you to take that one thing, that nagging anxiety, that nagging fear, that nagging doubt. And here's, I want to challenge you to do what I just modeled for you to do. And I want you to say, God, yes, I'm afraid. I've got a health concern, Lord. And yes, I'm scared. And I know what the doctor said. But Lord, I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And Carl's not sick. I'm just using this as an example. Amen. God, right now, I'm bringing my fears to your feet, God. I know that by your stripes I am healed. Thank you. You did it for me before. You're going to do it for me again. God, I know, God, that I have a covenant with you as a child of God. And so today, I'm not going to focus on my sickness. I'm not going to focus on the bad report. God, I'm laying it in your hands. I'm being specific about it. And I'm trusting you for the answer. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you don't wallow in anxiety. That's how you walk in hope. So today, as they begin to sing, I want to open this altar, and I'm going to invite every single one of us to step out. And when you come up, I want you to come all the way to the front so everybody can come out. Here's what I want you to do. And you don't have to tell anybody. I just want you to lift your hands and say, God, right now, I am concerned with, I am anxious about, I am worried about X, Y, Z. But right now, Lord, I'm praying and I'm making my petition known to you. And with thanksgiving, God, I'm thanking you for answering this prayer. I'm not going to focus on the stress. I'm not going to focus on the anxiety. I'm going to focus on the answer. And I'm telling you, joy and peace, Paul said, that what passes all understanding will come on you. You may not even have your answer yet, but the peace of God, which passes understanding. What did Paul say it does? It covers your mind and your heart. He baptizes you grace and joy to help you through your situation. So right now, I'm opening this altar. Step out from where you are. I want you to bring every anxious thought. I want you to bring every concern. I want you to, as a child of God, you've got a right. I want you to bring it with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving and make your request known to God so he can fill you with overflowing hope.
Yeah.
lay your hand on the shoulder and take the hand of the person next to you. We're going to pray for each other right now. Sometimes you don't know what your brother or your sister might be going through, what load they've been carrying. So why don't we just pray for one another right now? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for the men and women in this room that I'm connected to right now. I pray for the hands that I hold, for the shoulders that I have my hand on. I pray right now, Lord, for you to bless right now, for you to strengthen. I pray, God, that we can begin to shift our anxious thoughts and the problems that are weighing us down, that we can begin to shift them into your hands and into your care. God, I want to walk in hope. I want to walk in joy. I want to walk in peace. God, I want to walk in trust. And today, God, we lay every financial need at your feet. We lay every marriage strain at your feet. We lay every child's need at your feet. We lay every healing at your feet. We lay every financial need at your feet. We just trust you today, God. And God, today, in exchange for the fear, God, I receive your joy. I receive your confidence. I receive your assurance today, God. Help me to retrain my mind to not just trigger toward the worst outcome, but to expect the best, because I'm a child of God. I thank you for that. I thank you for that confidence. I thank you for that assurance. And I just pray, Lord, that as the body of Christ, God, we would cast every care at your feet and put our trust in you. And we thank you because we know that overflowing hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And we walk in that today. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Can we give God a praise together, everybody? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.